Morning. It's bright up here. Oh, excuse me, but we've been in London for the last couple of days, and yesterday we went out on Boris's bikes. Have you heard of those? All around London, and I have to say, Boris should invest in some decent bikes because they're really hard to pedal. My legs have nearly had it, so if I have to sit down in a minute, you'll understand why. Recently, and it's... Oh dear, crying already. Recently, something's happened in me where I get a sense of what God is trying to do amongst his people. And it expresses itself in emotion. And we went to a church last Sunday, and as soon as I walked in the door, I couldn't stop myself crying. Well, I did eventually, because I'm British. And it was beautiful to see the way that Jesus worked through the Holy Spirit to minister to people. And there were a lot of people crying. And some people were laughing. And it was beautiful. And as I've been in here this morning, it's been a sense as well that there's an ache and a crying. That God's heart is broken. Because he loves so much. And he feels what you feel. And so, this may be well garbled this morning, but really I want to get out of the way of what God wants to do, because I think he's got something deep to do amongst us. I know he's doing that in me already, so if you don't get it, you're missing out. In Isaiah 61, there's a passage that Jesus read out when he went to the temple and began his ministry. Do you remember this one? Isaiah 61, and it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." You can carry on reading that later on if you want. But I just love the fact that when Jesus came, he was the answer to this prophecy. He was it fulfilled. And what I'd like to look at in particular this morning, I feel has been sort of laid on my heart, is he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And I suspect immediately in your mind you're thinking, oh yeah, there's some broken-hearted people here. They're really going to get something from this morning. That's great. But I believe God's wanting to do something which is a little bit wider. And so I want to just look at the word heart for a little while and see what the heart is. I'm not going to be able to go through it all because the heart's mentioned 1,000 times in the Bible. So you're probably going to get a grasp that even if I read them all, you wouldn't have a total comprehension of what's going on there. But I just want to give us a brief look at what the heart is. And I'd love it if you went away and you explored it, because it's important. If it's mentioned 1,000 times in the Bible, you can begin to understand that that's an important subject. So do you want to learn some Hebrew and Greek? Okay, so all say, Leib. That's a Hebrew word for heart. Or lebob is also a Hebrew word for heart. And you'll recognize the next one, cardia. Yeah, cardiac arrest. Your heart breaks, doesn't it? It shuts down. Cardia is the Greek word for heart. I wonder if you ever question in your own mind, what's wrong with me? Why don't I just easily do what God wants me to do? What is it that's wrong with this world? Why is it so broken? Why is it that there's so many people in despair? Why is it there's so many people who are poor, who don't have enough to eat? Why is it that there's so much pain? Why is that? Why is it? Your conscience sort of cries out, doesn't it, for you to do the right thing and you do the wrong thing. Why? Why is it? And the answer's the heart. The heart is the answer of the question. Do you know the heart, the first time it's mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis 6. And it's not a very good start, really. So get ready. Genesis 6. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. The first mention that we get of the heart is the fact that man's heart is messed up. It's messed up right from the beginning. It's dark. It's black. And God's heart was filled with pain. Why did I make him? It's not a good start to a sermon, this, really. Every inclination of the thoughts of his heart were evil all the time. I think we've got this idea, haven't we, that man's basically good. You know, that generally man's all right. You know, he does good things for his fellow man. He looks after those around him. But it's not what the Bible says, you know. It says that man is inherently bad. He's inherently evil. And his heart is not good. I think we understand perhaps heart as emotions or the things that are deep inside us which drive us to make choices, but the heart is all of the inside of you. When it describes the heart, it's talking about the mind, it's talking about the emotions, it's talking about the will, it's talking about your decision-making processes, it's talking about how you live your life. And so in Genesis 6, when it's talking about the inclinations of man's heart being evil all the time, it means that his mind was going round the wrong tracks. It wasn't focused on the things it should have been. It wasn't pursuing the things that it should be. His emotions were corrupted, so that when he was controlled by his emotions, it would bring bad responses. It would bring bad choices. And it was so bad that God decided to end humanity. But then he looked out on the earth and he found Noah and his family. And thank goodness he did. One family on the earth who he decided to save. And it's like a foreshadow, really, of what Jesus was going to do later on. This is really depressing at the moment. Are you depressed? Jeremiah, if you want to be more depressed, goes on, he describes the heart as well, and he said, Jeremiah 17, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? It's not a pretty picture, is it? The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. And we know the story, that if it's based on what is in our hearts, the reward that we deserve, it's not a good one. It's death. Just the same as it was in Genesis. Our hearts are corrupt. They're deceitful. And so I think when God looks in the world, how does he view it? I think he's in pain. I think when he looks at Midsummer Norton, he's in pain. I think when he looks at our country, he's in pain. Don't you understand how it was meant to be? So we come back to Isaiah 61. And there's hope. We've got to look a bit last. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Who are the poor? Who are the poor? You answer the question. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He sent me to bind up the people who were broken and messed up inside. Yes! 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 It's the answer! Are you frightened now? Do you see this? Do you see it? Man, look at the power in this. Look at the power of what Jesus did. Do you see it? Do you see this dark world? And Jesus came in and said, I'm the answer! He shouted it. As he died, he said, it's finished! I've done it! To proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness to the prisoners. Wow! What a message this is! What a life-transforming, awe-inspiring message this is! My brokenness, the stuff that's all messed up inside, Jesus came and he said, I'm going to bind that up for you, Rob. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to transform you if you'll let me. Wow. Wow. And so I come here today and I say, that God weeps because he sees the brokenness of our hearts. He sees how we're poor and wretched. And he says, Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. And Jesus is here today to bind up your broken hearts. To set you free if you're captive. Wow. It's good news, isn't it?
Amen.
This surely is the year of the Lord's favour.
Amen.
It surely is. And we're busy looking for something else. But this is the most transforming, outstanding message of all time that Jesus came for us. And God, while we were still messed up, broken in the deceitfulness of our hearts, in the deceitfulness of the way we think, of the way that we follow our emotions, that we make wrong decisions, that we make bad choices, that we don't look after each other, that we don't look after the world that He gave us. God looked into that and said, I want to rescue my people. I want to bind them up, those broken hearts. I want to set them free. Wow. I think I've said wow more than once. One John says, God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Wow. God's good. He really is good. You know, if it was left to me, I think I would have given up. But God is so great. And so I look into a room full of people who've had the chance to be restored. And if you aren't there yet, you have this chance. You have this opportunity through Jesus Christ to have your heart washed clean. It's been really a joy to be here this morning and to have everyone else preach my sermon for me as I've gone through the service, you know. I love the way that God does that. Because His heart, whilst it's filled with pain, is for us. He's for you in your brokenness. He's for you in your pain. He's for you when you fall on the floor again. It's good news. It's good news. Really good news. So that's the introduction. It's not really. I think there's three things that I felt were important for this morning. I've learned something as well. It's not good to shout when you've got a cold. There's three things that I just wanted to encourage you with, perhaps to challenge you with. And the first one is to recognize the state of your heart. Recognize it and don't be afraid. We can't be proud people. We can't be a proud people. We can't say... Well, anyway. Do you know we're all in the same boat as well? Because I'm stood up here this morning, I'm no better or worse than any of the rest of you. That should set us free to be able to help each other, shouldn't it? Not for us to be looking for someone who's got it slightly better than us so that they can lead us through the darkness, but that we should all help each other. This is why I find enormous beauty in what the church is supposed to be. A group of people who recognize the darkness, who recognize sin, who recognize its destructive power. But we're able to, by the grace of God, build each other up and allow Jesus to minister in the middle of us. For us to be able to cry out to Him and Him to be able to heal our wounds. So I want to encourage you this morning to start being open with each other. We can't afford to be proud. We can't afford to be British and hide. We have to be open with each other. When it says confess your sins to one another, that's pretty scary. But actually, if you recognise that everyone else has got a problem as well, it's not half as scary. Really not. So now I'd like you to turn to your neighbour and confess your sins. No, I would, honest, no. But I want you to build relationships where you can open yourself and be transparent with people and say, the darkness in my life looks like this. And to allow people to begin to use what they've received from God to bind up your broken heart, to heal your wounds. It's the way that God's chosen to work it. It doesn't seem a great plan to me, to be honest. Why get us involved in the first place? But that's the way he chose to do it. And you see, it's beautiful. It's stunningly beautiful what Jesus does. The church should be, and in many cases is, a stunningly beautiful place. Not because of the people dwelling in it, but because of the God who dwells in it. So don't be proud. Don't be afraid of recognising who you are. Because it's in the recognising who you are that the beginning of freedom comes. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay, so walk in truth. Walk in the reality of where you are. The second encouragement I've got is to become a body, is to become more integrated. Sometimes the church today has gone back 2,000 years to become a system of having priests who intercede between people and God. And that's clearly not how the church was intended to be. It was intended to be a group of people who serve one another, who know who they are, who can minister to each other. That's pretty exciting as well. You know, and we get so hung up sometimes about the beautiful things that God's given us to do that. And so when I mention gifts of the Spirit, we go, oh no, the gifts of the Spirit. Speaking in tongues, that's a tricky one. Not sure if I like that. The problem is that these gifts have been used for manipulation and control for so long that we've forgotten their beauty. We've forgotten the beauty that there is in God's gifts being shared. You know, when God gives you a gift, it's not for you. It's for someone else. It's for you to say, thanks, God. Here you go, have some of that. And yet sometimes we use that gift and we hold on to it and we say, all right, I am having some of that and I'm going to manipulate you. I'm going to control you. I'm going to try and make things go my way. Because the heart is deceitful above all things. And we've got this battle that's going on inside us and we're trying to do what God wants us to do. But still, there's this rage inside of us that says, it's all about me. So I'm going to encourage you to start sharing the gifts, sharing it around. It's good fun, Christmas, isn't it? Do you like Christmas? Yes. Yeah, it's gone past now. But I like giving presents more than I like receiving them. I like it when you get it right. Do you know that feeling when you give someone a present, they say, wow, that's just what I wanted, you know, and the look on their face, and yeah, that's not often what happens with me. But it's good. And there's good gifts that we can share with each other, you know? And they're for building up. They're for strengthening, edifying. And the third thing really is to seek God for yourself. You know, we're not in a system, as Mike's already said today, where someone can stand at the front and intercede for you. Your relationship with God is individual. It's the year of the Lord's favour. The Holy Spirit can dwell in you. You can communicate with God. You can receive what He's got for you. Allow Him access to your heart. To the darkness, to the good things. How's that? Right? I'm going to read this once again. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendour. So this morning, I think specifically, God wants to begin to do new works in some of you. God wants to carry on doing a work in others of you. God wants some of you to say, Lord, I don't really understand my heart. And you'd be right, you don't understand it. The longer your life goes on, the more you understand, and the more you realise that it's a bigger topic than you thought. You don't understand very much at all, really. But God wants to minister you today. Right now. So, if we worship together, that would be a good thing, wouldn't it? But I think it would be good if we prayed together as well. If we started acting like a body of people, to comfort those who are mourning, to bind up the brokenhearted. To release prisoners from the darkness. I'm not going to get you to put your hands up now, but I'm guessing there's people here who feel real darkness. Where are you, God, in all this? Some of you feel so broken. And you just want to be able to cry it out. Surely this is the place, isn't it? Surely it is. I think we've come to expect that church is a very well-regimented, lovely, beautiful thing. But the order of God sometimes looks quite chaotic, I think. Sometimes looks, from the outside, what's going on here? I spoke to you about the meeting we went to last week. I've become a bit of an observer, and I shouldn't be like that, really, but I was observing for a long while. And then Sue's, bless her, she grabbed me over and said, you need to come and be prayed for. And All I know is that through my tears, I could hear people laughing. And there was no discord in that. There was no clash, because it was the same God in it. He was doing something different in them than he was doing in us. Thank God for that, that he meets you exactly where you are today. So, should we worship together, and should we pray? And if you would like to pray with someone, I'm sure the elders will be ready to pray for you, or Suzanne and I would like to pray for you as well, if you want to do that. Or if you want to be more intimate in sharing with someone you know really well, then that's really good as well. We're all a body. You don't need to come pray with me because I've got some special anointing. It's not the way it works. Sometimes God does it that way. That's his grace. So let's do that. But let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you were the fulfillment of this prophecy and that you performed the greatest miracle of all time in the fact that you redeemed a dark and black world. And into it you brought light and love and healing, your power, your favor, your justice, your love, your mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise together.